24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. Do you believe insurance companies overcharge you? Do you believe that you pay enough monthly and you should not have to pay a deductible when the coverage is needed? Unfortunately, deductibles are real, and we at We Pay All Your Deductibles offer you a warranty for about 1.5% monthly of the cost of your deductible to pay your deductible when you need it. We give back 25% back every 2 years if the time never arises. Sign up for our warranty, and you will have one up on the high cost of insurance on your cars, homes, motorcycles, cell phones, and boats. We pay all your deductibles.
Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
This is Dr. Herbert Harris, and you are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show on Bashani Radio. Always talking about everything from New York City. We're available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success and a transformational speaker and trainer. And I'll tell you, we've written 8 books and had many of them translated into foreign languages. But right now, our mission is to engage and transform the lives of 1 million people, helping them be more effective and attracting and creating wealth, living their dreams, and realizing their purpose and destiny. Visit our website, herbertharris.com, to learn more about some of the tools and programs that can help you achieve your greatness. The concept of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is that wealth, success, and all things come to us based on consciousness. The spiritual principle, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Kingdom is consciousness, awareness. So the purpose of this program is to help develop the consciousness of wealth, health, success, prosperity, and money so that we can attract these blessings into our lives. First, you know, I'd like to thank our listeners because you have turned our program into something hot. You have made us the number one new program on the Bashani Network. And folks, let me tell you, without you, we couldn't do it. So I want to thank you and say, hey, let's keep doing it. Share it with your friends, subscribe. And we greatly appreciate all the things that you do to help us do the things that we must do. I'll open with a quick story. And I think it's very appropriate today with our listener. And this is a story about some young men. You know, young folks for some reason think that they have all the information, they know everything. And two young men found a bird who'd fallen from a nest in the tree, a baby bird, and they held the baby bird in their hands and they saw the wise man coming down the street, and he was wise and rich. And they asked him, they said, sir, this bird fell from the tree and my friend is holding the bird behind his back in his hand, and can you tell us whether the bird is dead or alive? And the wise man looked at them for a moment, and he said, you know, if I say he's alive, you'll squeeze him in your hands, and he'll be dead. He said, if I say he's dead, you'll release him and let him fly. He said, but the truth of this situation is this. The fate of that bird is in your hands. And so for our listeners, the level of success, the level of wealth, the level of things that you achieve is in your hands. Our theme for today is research. One of the spiritual principles, it says, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be answered. And I picked that theme because our guest today is a person who has devoted his life to research, to learning the truth about success, about power, and about wealth. So it's very appropriate that we'll open with a quote from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough's book, The Wealth Choice, Success Secrets of Black Millionaires. And it says, let others lead small lives, but not you. Let others argue over small things, but not you. Let others cry over small hurts, but not you. Let others leave their fortune in somebody else's hands, but not you. And remember the four things that never return: the spoken word, the speeding arrow, the wasted life, and the neglected opportunity. What a powerful quote from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Now, when I talk about the theme of research, you know, just we sort of gloss over that because many times our young people think about research as, oh, you just hit Google it, and that's all it is. But it's not all there is. There's so much more to research. And research is really a serious, studious inquiry or examination. It's an investigation or experimentation aimed at the discovery and interpretation of facts. Sometimes research leads to revision of accepted theories or laws, or maybe even practical applications of new and revised theories. And research is so important because one of the key things that it does is research can reveal a level of truth that you may not find otherwise. You may get more viewpoints. When you research things, you get more viewpoints. So you sort of get a bigger perspective on things. When you research things, you can get more facts. You know, the more facts that you get, the more consciousness, the more your consciousness can be expanded. Through research, you can get a larger frame for understanding, because sometimes research brings forth all different phases of information and operations. And then research can help you gain knowledge quickly, because the power is in your hands. And so when you're understanding based on knowledge, exposure, then a subject like success, research is critical. Because you know the facts. Everybody has their own theory of what success is about. There are all kinds of viewpoints. But when you can research success and see those principles that occur time and time again, this is a way to expand your consciousness. This is what Napoleon Hill did in his breakthrough book, Think and Grow Rich. And this is what our guest today is all about. Our guest is a young man who has used study and research to interpret and apply the principles of success, not only to the African-American community, but to all people. And so when Dr. Kimbrough speaks, and I've attended many of his lectures, but when Dr. Kimbrough speaks, everybody listens. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough is a best-selling author of 5 books, a writing partner, a master trainer for the Napoleon Hill Foundation. He's on the faculty of Clark Atlanta University School of Business Administration, and he is a recipient of the Dale Carnegie Personal Achievement Award. Dr. Kimbrough received his BA degree from the University of Oklahoma and an MA and doctorate from Northwestern University. And here he studied wealth and poverty in underdeveloped countries. In 1905, that's interesting. In 2005, the National Black MBA Association presented Dr. Kimbrough with the 2005 H. Naylor Fitzhugh Award, recognizing him as one of the top professors in the nation. He studied the methodology of Napoleon Hill, author of the international bestseller, Think and Grow Rich. Dr. Kimbrough decided to do what Hill had done. He developed a survey to use among peak performing Black Americans. 2 years later, he learned from the Napoleon Hill Foundation that Mr. Hill himself had written nearly 100 pages on the same subject, Black wealth, in the 1970s, but it was left incomplete. And this manuscript eventually was turned over to Dr. Kimbrough. After a personal meeting with W. Clement Stone, the president of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, Dr. Kimbrough was commissioned to update and complete Hill's original manuscript, and the result was Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And here, Dr. Kimbrough's efforts, he distills the secrets of success contained in the lives of Black men and women and reveals how readers can use these keys to make their dreams come true. He is now a certified Napoleon Hill Science of Success trainer and a leadership coach. Dr. Kimbrough's life work, and I love this, is to make this valuable knowledge available to people of all races, socioeconomic levels, cultures, and beliefs. So without further ado, let me introduce my friend, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Herbert. Everybody is so formal. I have no problem being Dr. Kimbrough, but I'd love to be Dennis because I am on my summer break. You can call me doctor all you want the 1st of September when I'm back in the classroom.
I love it. Well, you know, Dennis, that's a switch because I have some of my doctor friends, and I got some friends that have more degrees than a thermometer. And boy, some of them want you to call them doctor forever. You say, well, I know you when you were two. Yeah, I was Dr. Smith then. So that's great, man. Well, I tell you, Dennis, everybody sort of meets you and are so impressed. But I've always wanted to know a little about your background, your early years. And, you know, what was that guiding force that made you who you are right now?
Well, I'm just a continuation from the training that I had as a child. Here I am in my study, relaxing. I got my 5 miles in today. And I remember when I was in elementary school, I had my grandson with me yesterday. And when I was about his age, my parents were, you know, as you can imagine, sticklers on education, particularly my father. And my father had several rules. And one rule it was on a school night, you couldn't go out to play unless your homework was done. And you couldn't watch TV on school nights. But Herbert, he made one exception. Me and my older brother, we had to watch this television show. It came on once a week and was only on for 30 minutes. Now, you're going back to the late 1950s and early 1960s. And what was the name of that show? Well, the name of the show was Biography. And it's so ironic. Well, it really isn't ironic because you can learn from anybody. At that particular time, there were no Black profiles. I take that back. There was one, but that was Jackie Robinson. But I was watching, you know, 30-minute profiles on, Mohandas Gandhi, Eleanor Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Charles Lindbergh. And the like. Yeah. And then after the show, my father would quiz me and my brother. He said, okay, what did you learn? Okay, why is this individual so great? Why is this individual so special? You think you could do this? And, that back flap story has really been front and center over the course of my life. I'm probably one of the few speakers out there. And through no personal aggrandizement, no narcissism, not patting myself on the back, people say, oh, man, Dr. Kimbrough, I read your books. And I love your books. Your books are great. I could probably, and I do, I agree with them. My books are great. Not because I wrote them, but because I did something. I just sat in a corner, took notes with both hands as I sat before Black America's peak performers, wealth creators, and achievers. And this is their story. It's not anybody's story, but their stories. And when they say the books are great, you're really applauding them. Now, why is that critically important? Because we don't, as a race, until recently, the Wealth Choice came out, we didn't even bother to profile our wealth creators. I mean, I've said this on YouTube. Here I am in my study, and Herbert, I can go ahead and give you the remote control. I got a flat screen TV there, cut it on, and go to the Bloomberg Network, go to Financial News, go to MSNBC, and you might find, you know, Bill Gates being interviewed. You might find an old interview with Steve Jobs. You might find Howard Schultz of Starbucks, Phil Knight of Nike Shoes. Now, this is the question that begs asking. When's the last time you've seen one of your wealth creators interviewed? I mean, here I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can walk down Peachtree Street in the southwest section of Atlanta, which is overwhelmingly predominantly Black, and I can say, can you name the 7 Black billionaires? I interviewed 3 of the 7. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. That is the problem. Why? Because the Bible says, you know, what thou seest, that thou beest. You mentioned the spiritual laws. Everything occurs to you twice in life, the inner, the outer, the thought, the thing. Whenever your Lord and Savior would ride into a village, walk into a hamlet, and he would heal the sick, he would heal the afflicted, he would heal the frustrated, he would heal the depressed. The last thing he would say, now go and sin no more. Well, Herbert, sin doesn't mean when you turned your back, I took the last cookie out of the cookie jar. when my wife let my Labrador retriever outside, it doesn't mean that I went in her purse and took a dollar and she didn't. No, it doesn't mean that. It means if you don't change your thinking, the next time I come into this village, the next time I walk into this hamlet, you're still going to be depressed. You're still going to be afflicted. You're still going to be frustrated, and you're still going to be impoverished. The Ten Commandments are written not to punish you. Ten Commandments are written to protect you. And we can't even get past the first commandment. I'm the Lord your God, and you will have no gods before me. What is God? God is love. Well, Herbert, you know, again, let's stand on the busiest corner intersection in Atlanta, Georgia, and let's interview the next 100 people. And some people, you know, they love their career rather than their God. Some people love their car. Some people love their amenities. Some people, they love that new outfit, those red bottom shoes that they have.
Yes.
Some people love money more than they love their God. And that is critical. That is crucial. And you go back to, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, William Emerson, his grandfather. He gave a sermon at Harvard Divinity School, and he wasn't invited back for another 30 years. Why? Because he had the audacity to sit in that pulpit and say that spirituality is here to serve man, not to frighten him.
Woo!
Big difference.
Woo! My goodness.
Big difference. And even this day and age, with the last breath out of his body, Nelson Mandela was interviewed by a young journalist, and he said, "Mr. Mandela, I know time is short, but can I ask you a question?" He says, "Sure." He said, "What is the purpose of life?" And Mandela said, "The only way I can answer that question is to be Socratic." He said, "What do you mean?" "The only way I can answer that question is to ask you a question or two." He said, "If you're looking at the purpose of life, have you moved from fear to fearless? And have you closed the gap between the promise and the performance?" I didn't choose to be here, and you didn't choose to be here. The bottom line, we were chosen. Chosen to do what? To complete the noble task. Well, have you completed your assignment? Have you done what you were sent here to do? And Henry David Thoreau says it another way. Don't die with your music left in you.
Don't die with your music left
Look,
in you.
Every time I step into that classroom, I'm playing my music. And what did the rapper say? What did, you know, Too Short say? It's been way too long. Time for the whole world to play your song. Well, look, damn it. You're going to play my song when I walk into the classroom. I'm doing what I was sent here to do.
But Dennis, let me tell you.
No wonder I've won Professor of the Year more times than I can count. I'm singing my song.
Yes.
I'm singing my song. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm special. So to the other 7 billion people on the planet, are you singing your song?
Are you singing your
song? What have you been sent here to do? What is your purpose?
But then,
why did the Lord take time? And why did the Lord take time to blow breath into your lungs? When it's all said and done, what will others say about you?
But Dennis, let me tell you, man, you're dropping such heavy pearls. I mean, when you start thinking on that level, and we got to give people a chance to take a breath, because the way you were dropping pearls, it's like being in the middle of a hurricane. That rain's coming down so fast, you can't breathe. So let me take a look. We call it a pause for the cause, and just a quick break. And we'll come back, and I'd like you to tell people how they can reach you, how they can contact you. So let me take, as they say in New York, a pause for the cause.
There you go.
You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. Folks, I tell you, we got to get back into this. We were just in the hurricane of knowledge, the hurricane of wisdom. So, Dennis, maybe you could let people know how they can contact you and share a little about your books and how they all support your message.
Oh, okay. I'd be delighted. You can hit me up on Twitter, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, my website, www.denniskimbrough.com, Facebook, all the social media platforms. I would love to hear from you. Hook me up on Instagram and LinkedIn. And I'm an open story. I mean, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble. I've written 5 books, 3 bestsellers, and for the past 20-something-odd years, Think and Grow Rich with Black Choice, still the number one business book in Black America. And I'm honored and I am blessed. And my 5th book, 7-year study on Black millionaires, The Wealth Choice, over a 7-year period, all I did was interview, held focus groups, and held surveys of Black millionaires. The research in that book involved, I interacted with no less than 1,000 Black millionaires to go ahead and write that book. And there's only 35,000 out there right now.
Mm-hmm. 35,000 Black millionaires.
Which is nothing. If we produced millionaires on the same par with the other 177 countries that belong to the United Nations, we would have produced close to 400,000, not 35,000.
Wow.
I was just going to say you're in the top 20 in the world in terms of disposable income. Okay. We are equal to one of the wealthiest countries in the nation, and that's Qatar.
Wow.
There are about 30,000 millionaires in Qatar. But here's the rub. There's only 930,000 people who live in Qatar. You got 35,000 Black millionaires, but you got 34 million Black folks that live in the United States.
Wow.
So the question begs asking, Herbert, what the hell are you doing with your money?
What are you doing with your money? Well, you know.
Or when Moses stood there at the Red Sea and asked for another blessing, the Lord of Heavenly Hosts said, Moses, why dost thou criest unto me? Look, damn it, I gave you everything. And the Lord of Heavenly Hosts is saying the same thing to Black America. I gave you everything. What are you doing?
Now, you know, Dennis, when you start interviewing people, did you find that many of the Black millionaires, were they reluctant to share their information, or were they glad that somebody was asking?
Not at all. Getting past the wealth, their lieutenants and getting past the gatekeepers is one issue. But I was a little bit fortunate when I wrote The Wealth Choice because I had a little name recognition. So it was a lot easier than Think and Grow Rich or Black Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at a quandary when writing Think and Grow Rich or Black Choice. And I said to myself, well, I got to interview some of these folks. So who's king of the mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the king of the mountain at that time was John Johnson of Ebony Magazine, because I knew that if I was going to ask Earl Graves or anybody else at that time for an interview, the first question they were going to say, well, who have you interviewed to date?
And I
said, well, if I could tell them that I got John Johnson, not once, but twice, they would say, oh, man, come on in. So I had a little bit of name recognition, and it really wasn't that difficult. Now, I used a full-blown survey. Mm-hmm. As I shared in my book, my survey was adapted in my MBA class. I formulated and I threw it. We discussed it in class. I took time from class and I said, take a look at it. You guys are the hot shot, know it all, MBAs. You're the experts. Tell me what I need to do. Am I asking the right questions? Because I wanted to make sure it was both valid and reliable. And what the hell we mean by that? Number one, I'm asking the right questions. But number two, I'm asking the right questions to the right people. So I had to make sure it was valid and reliable. So, and I sent it out there, and I sent it out there completely and totally anonymous. But a number of millionaires signed it. Mm-hmm. A number of millionaires attached their business card and gave it back to me. Mm-hmm. A number of millionaires completed it on the spot and placed it in my hand, because the survey was divided into 4 different sections. The second section was on their financials. And Herbert, I asked some proprietary questions. Questions like, if you're married, who balances your checkbook in your house? Would you have a difficult time paying an unexpected $5,000 bill? So I was asking, some proprietary questions, but they had no problem with it.
Wow.
How much of your income do you save? So, mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, that whole idea of doing the research on it to find out what's really working, you know, people can speculate on success, but success needs clues. And that process that you went through, and it's very similar to what Napoleon Hill did, you know, in his quest for knowledge. But that process that you went through was just, I think that was a breakthrough, you know. And was there?
Oh, without a doubt. Just like I said in my book, in 1908, what Napoleon Hill claimed when Andrew Carnegie asked him, would he spend the next few years, because he didn't know it was going to take 20 years. He said, would you spend the next few years, no matter how long it takes, to go ahead and interview like-minded individuals like you interviewed me, and whatever they tell you, you know, write it, place it in a single volume for not only this, but future generations, would you do it? And it took Hill, his story goes, anywhere between 11 and 29 seconds. Well, the same thing, what Hill said, the hand of destiny reached out to him. Well, the hand of destiny reached out to me when W. Clement Stone placed those last 100 written pages in my lap. Mm. You see, Herbert, this is what you got to understand. There are many adaptations of Napoleon Hill's writings. Yeah, you mm-hmm. may not know there's a Think and Grow Rich Hispanic choice.
Mm.
There's a Think and Grow Rich Women's choice. You may not know that.
Mm.
There are many different adaptations of the book. But what makes this book, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, different? This is Napoleon Hill's book. This is the last thing Napoleon Hill was working on at the time of his death. And if you ever come to Atlanta, I'd like to entertain you in my house, and you come to my study, and I'm looking at those 100 pages right now.
Mm. Wow. Now that's his.
Right now, from his typewriter to my study. This is not an adaptation. Look, damn it, this is his book.
Mm.
So when folks ask me, well, why do we need a black version? I said, well, that's a great question, but you need to ask Napoleon Hill, not me.
Mm.
Because if Napoleon Hill didn't work on that book, my first book would have been What Makes the Great Great. That was the book that I was working on, and that was the book that W. Clement Stone told me to push aside while I finished Napoleon Hill.
Now, that's interesting. What do you think made them pick you?
Well, I had, again, there was no success data at the time on Black America. There were no books. I mean, I'm not knocking it, but, you know, we really don't do a good job, like I said, crafting and chronicling our peak performers and our wealth creators. Mm. And that's something we really need to concentrate on, because all you got to do, Herbie, the quotes that you said in the beginning and the mindset and the consciousness that you were sharing in the beginning, whether you realize it or not, you're really talking Abraham Maslow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abraham Maslow said in the 1960s that he did not want to study dysfunctional. He did not want to, you know, study, you know, what makes people go off the deep end, and why are people depressed? And he said, I don't want to study that. He said, I want to study what brings out the best in the human spirit.
Mm.
And that's what we need to replicate.
Wow.
So he started an entire school of his own, and the school was called what? Self-actualization.
Man. Well, I tell you,
fully actualized individual. And what is the fully actualized individual? What Jesus said. What are you going to do what you were sent here to do, my brother?
Come on.
Let's get on with it.
But then it's,
I mean, people are looking for the purpose. The purpose is buried in the heart. You know your area of excellence. Just sit down and ask yourself, okay, all right, help me mine it out. Help me pull it out. So, that's the school of thought. And the reason why I guess they selected me, because when the Success Magazine heard about What Makes the Great Great, I was asked to write several articles.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote three articles, and one of the articles made it to the desk of W. Clement Stone, and it was game over after that.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Dennis, we got to do an hour interview, man, because you're so full of knowledge and wisdom. But if there was a pearl, a diamond that, you know, that you could drop on us just as we kind of close this out, what would it be for people to take them where they need to go?
Believe in yourself when no one else will.
Mm.
Believe in yourself when no one else will. It's called grit. It's called perseverance. It's called persistence. You got to realize you're the only individual who keeps score. And I always share that story about Sammy. Sammy is 8 years old in the third grade, and he's painting a picture at his desk. And the teacher comes by and says, "Sammy, what are you doing?" Sammy says, "I'm painting a picture of God." The teacher says, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." Sammy says, "They will in a minute." That is what we need to focus in on.
Wow.
You are the individual. This is your destiny. And until you find your area of excellence, you know, time isn't running out, but your life is.
Your life is. Well, Dennis, I'm going to tell you, man, this is incredible. We got to come back. We got to set up some more time because there's so much stuff coming from you and to even to share some of the things that I know your seven laws of wealth. There's so many things that we got to cover. And so I'm just going to get a commitment, man. We got to do another program, and I'm going to implore them to give us an hour. You know, you can't squeeze stuff in.
Make it happen.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. And once again, just your contact information. And someone says, "So how do you spell his name with an I? K-I-M-B-R-O.
Yep.
All right, my friend.
All right. God bless. Hang in there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, my good friend, Dennis. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Have a magnificent life.
Bye-bye.
See you soon, my friend. Bye-bye. Wow. Folks, I don't know whether to shout or take up a collection or both. You know, sometimes when you go to church and you really get motivated and they share some of that powerful stuff with you, you don't know what to do. I can only say this, that this message today has been incredible. It has been something that I think that we're going to share some more on it. And for our listeners to definitely tune in, we'll keep you prepped up because these words that Dr. Dennis Kimbrough shared with us today are life-changing words, life-changing thoughts. I want to remind everybody, of course, that let me tell you something. I want to make sure that you don't just listen to our program, but you plug into what's going on. And so we're going to be sharing some one-on-one millionaire mentorship consultations by phone. And it's no charge, but I think we want to make sure that you have access to us and that through personal contact through Bishani Radio, but also on a personal one-on-one basis. And so you can go to the Bishani Radio website, our website, and you can click on the flag there under that aqua green flyer, or you can email me at Herbert@HerbertHarris.com. That's Herbert@HerbertHarris.com. Our goal is to help 1,000 people, to interact with 1,000 people so that you can jumpstart your life in a new direction. Also visit our website, HerbertHarris.com, for some powerful tools and strategies to help you be what you want to be, do what you want to do, and have whatever you want to have. Our closing affirmation is this: I am a living magnet. I attract the circumstances that I desire. I'll say it again. I am a living magnet. I attract the circumstances that I desire. And folks, for a topic, an assignment for us today is one: research something that you're interested in, practice seeking, knocking, and asking, and two, tune into us. Get your millionaire mentorship consultation, because sometimes just a few words that you say or I say can be the pearls that can change your life. Our guest was Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, and his, as he said, K-I-M-B-R-O. You won't have any trouble finding him on social media everywhere. Tune in, follow some of his things, and most of all, look forward to him coming back on our program. This is Dr. Herbert Harris saying, join us each and every week. Share our message with your friends. Subscribe to our program, knowing that knowledge is power. The truth will set you free, and the best is yet to come. And so it is.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
Twenty-four hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.